What the heck is going on? The stock price is plummeting. Are you going to get control of the message, or do I have to send in someone who understands the meaning?
Get out of here, moron!
Hey!
Excuse me, Mr. Droid, who are you talking to?
No one.
Did you just call Ms. Mick a moron?
No, everything's fine.
Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
NYG Weekly, the head coaching search edition. Ethan Weiss here with you once again. We have a special guest, but before I introduce them, we got to take care of the housekeeping. You guys know the drill. So first, go follow us on Twitter. You can follow me at EthanGSN. You can follow Weiss at NYG Daily. You can follow the blog at GothamSN. Last but not least, subscribe. I tell you guys every week, we're everywhere. iTunes, Audio Boom, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, still pending on Spotify. We'll let you guys know as soon as that gets through. But subscribe, every subscription, it means the world to us. We've grown tremendously this season. We appreciate it. Now, we got to welcome in the guest. You all should know him, Chris Carlin, now of WFAN fame. You can follow him on Twitter at Chris Carlin. You can listen to him from 2 to 6 p.m. on WFAN. Chris, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, guys. How you doing?
Pretty good. Now, a little backstory before we get into all the Giants talk. This started because I tweeted some not so nice things about people who wanted Bill Belichick to come coach the Giants. I tweeted, if you think the Giants can make a run at Bill Belichick, you are a mouth-breathing window licker who should never be allowed to watch football again. And Chris, your reply was, this is me. Much of my snoring comes from the mouth breathing. I don't really lick windows. Got my tongue stuck to a pole in the cold once on a triple dog dare. I do sympathize on that because I do snore, and I did come very close to getting my tongue stuck on a pole. So we are actually a little bit more similar than I thought.
Well, there you go. And you know, just as a little context, I have always subscribed to the personal mantra that I thrive when you let me be an idiot.
Yeah, there we go. Me too.
Hence, it's gotten me this far. But yeah, listen, you know, I get it. I kind of see both sides of it. But for me, I mean, it depends on what we're talking about. Are we talking about giving away 3-4 first round picks? Of course not. That's not right. Something I would do. But I am very much a proponent. If he wants to be the Giants coach, then they have to figure out how to do it to where it's going to make sense to have him, and it's going to make sense in terms of what they give up. So why are you so anti-Belichick at this point?
So Weiss and I were actually talking pre-show, and I think, you know, he has a number of points that he wants to bring up. And since I did sort of steal the intro, I'll let him talk in a minute. But just to clarify, it's not me not wanting Belichick. I think he's the greatest coach of all time. And I think that if the opportunity were to present itself, of course, I'd want him to coach the Giants. Logistically, I just don't think it's possible or feasible. I'll let Weiss take over before I jump back in because I know he wants to get his thoughts out.
Yeah, I mean, for the record, I mean, I think we all agree. We all take Bill Belichick as a coach, no doubt about it. But I just don't think, given his age and given sort of what we think is a well-oiled machine in New England, I mean, at age 66, 67, is Belichick really going to walk away from that and come and try to rebuild the Giants, given where they are? And then would the Giants actually give him full control of the roster and sort of be the GM and the head coach? And I just don't see that, you know, working together. And that's sort of the same point I have with Nick Saban. Would he leave that well-oiled machine in Alabama and come to New York and sort of rebuild? And given their age, I just don't think at this stage of their career it would make sense for that to happen. Now, would I sign up for it? Hell yeah, I think we all sign up for it. I just don't think at this stage it'll be smart. But especially not giving up draft picks for him. That, I mean, I would not do that.
Well, here's where I'm coming from on it. When it comes to Saban, I agree. And I don't think Nick Saban wants to be an NFL coach. Paul Schwartz was reporting this evening that he doesn't think that Nick Saban has any interest in the Giants' job. I was down at Alabama last year when I was working for Sirius XM and, you know, just kind of got an up-close look at how that runs. You got to remember, he treats Alabama like an NFL team in that, you know, he calls it the way we run our organization. The thing is that you have complete say over everything going on at Alabama football. And that means that the players don't have any say whatsoever. It's not any kind of a democracy. In the NFL, they, you know, the players are in some cases a lot more powerful than the coaches. Now, Nick Saban, that wouldn't necessarily be the coach. That wouldn't necessarily be the case, but I don't think that he wants that. Now, on the Belichick front, I can confirm a few things. Number one, he has always had a special affinity for the Giants.
Absolutely.
And it's not just because, it's not just because of, for whatever reason, it's not just because he, you know, won Super Bowls there or all that. It's the Maras, that's part of it. It's just Giant tradition. You guys may have heard me say this on the air. He actually had Giant season tickets well past when he left. I don't know that he still does, you know, based on the PSLs of a few years ago. But at least through the Giant stadium years, he had season tickets. And he also has – I'll give you an example. He did an interview for me when I was doing the Giants pre- and post-game during the preseason when he had absolutely no reason to do it. But because it was the Giants and they asked, he did it. And, you know, all of these kinds of little things, he's got just such an incredible respect. I truly think it's the only place that he would ever coach, coach besides New England. I read that story last week, and to me it's hard to not at least investigate what the situation is. And I honestly believe that if Robert Kraft and Tom Brady did force the Garoppolo trade, I think there's something to all this stuff.
Me too.
And I think there's a chance that – think about the fact that the Browns either offered during the offseason or were more than willing to offer the fourth overall pick in exchange for Jimmy Garoppolo.
No, my counter to that is going to the second for San Francisco is – you know, what if it's just that Belichick really actually did care about Garoppolo and didn't want him to end up in the wasteland that is Cleveland?
Well, San Francisco offered more the first time they called.
Yeah, I mean, it would be one thing if I would buy into it if it was a small difference in what they were getting back in return. We're talking about an entire round, worth of. Yeah, that to me is where that came from. So in that case, he's not doing his job for his organization.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's the case.
I mean, I was telling somebody the other day about this whole situation. I said, you guys know Belichick. Belichick is two steps ahead of everything. You honestly think that he would trade Jacoby Brissett for, you know, Philip Dorsett, who was a failed receiver in Indianapolis, and then basically deny every trade that he or trade request that he got from San Francisco, from Cleveland, and then ultimately just give up Garoppolo for a second round pick after all the time he invested? I definitely think there's something going on, and I'm with you, Chris. I think the end is near between there. I think we're starting to get towards the end, and you're starting to see all this stuff come out between those three people. And I truly believe that Robert Kraft, I'm not going to say forced, but he definitely encouraged Belichick to be like, hey, I'm not paying this guy the money. We're not putting the franchise tag on Garoppolo. We're keeping Brady. You got to figure something out. And that's why I think ultimately they just got just a second round pick back for Garoppolo. I think Belichick knew what Jimmy G was going to turn into. I think he saw it.
Well, that's a fine, train of thought to have. But, forget about all the Garoppolo stuff. At the end of the day, Belichick leaving a perennial contender and leaving Tom Brady to go coach elsewhere, to me, is just crazy. I think he's going to ride off into the sunset with Brady, make sure that their future is set up. And something that Weiss, we sort of said it literally the exact same time during the pre-show, and Chris, you could weigh in on this too, is Belichick sort of finishing his business in New England and then taking on a Tom Coughlin Jacksonville type role in the New York Giants organization later in life. Because listen, you said it earlier, the man has a special place in his heart for the Giants. And I credit my father for this because, we're sort of younger guys, and I don't have many friends who are very fond of the Patriots. They sort of consider them the evil empire. Me, I can't really find a place to hate them. One, because, well, the Giants beat them in 2 Super Bowls. And two, because I learned about the history of Bill Belichick as defensive coordinator, Super Bowl champion with the New York Giants. And to me, it's hard to root against a guy like that. And why I think that maybe in the future, he could take a Tom Coughlin role in the organization.
Yeah, you know, I think most likely of everything. Look, do I think he's going to be the Giants coach? Ultimately, probably not. It is a long shot. Of course, I'll cop to that. I don't even know that he would want to do that, because I think he's a coach, and I think he has the mentality of a coach. And when I say he'd come to the Giants, I'm thinking, you know, a 5-year situation. He's not coaching for 10 more years. No, you know, I don't see that. And he does enjoy spending time on the golf course, out on his boat, doing a lot of that stuff. He's a much different guy away from football. And I think that those are all things that he wants to do. I do think that if he came to the Giants, it would be 5 years and get them set up for long-term success too. But, you know, ultimately, we're probably talking about one of these other guys at this point, because they're, you know, I think you had Bob Kraft come out and so vehemently say no. He's saying that just in case there is something to it and he needs to get some compensation, you know. So, look, it we can go round and round on it. I think we all know that it's probably not happening. And at the same time, it's going to be an interesting scenario to see what route they're going to go here as far as this coach is concerned.
For sure. And before we get into the head coaching search and all the news that sort of news or non-news that dropped today, well, to be determined, let's get your thoughts on Gettleman. Weiss and I weren't anti-Gettleman, but we were less than thrilled at the search that went on.
Yeah, I get that. I liked Gettleman from the beginning just because he knows the organization. And I know people are saying, no, you got to do something different. You got to go outside. You got to do... When you really look at it, do you have to? Because with the people that have been in the organization as long as they have, and the one, you know, between everybody, they've had success. You know, they have the rings to prove the success. So I don't really have that much of a problem with it. I didn't love the search either. I would have liked to have been a little bit more extensive. I think that Ernie Accorsi being involved, Ernie had his guy, and that guy was Dave.
Right.
But I do think Gettleman did do a lot of good things in Carolina. The one thing I'd be concerned by, you know, there's some, you look at two guys in the last few days that really came up as big zeros for their teams that he drafted, and that's Devin Funchess and that's Kelvin Benjamin. And those are big receivers that, I'll be honest, when I saw Funchess in college, and I saw him pretty extensively at Michigan, I thought very little of him. And he was a typical guy that had the great size and all the tools that you thought was going to be great, but you just never saw him actually play great.
Right. And we don't need to beat the dead horse, Weiss, but we, Chris, we'd spent the last couple episodes sort of reviewing Gettleman's draft history, and we were less than thrilled with some of the picks that he made, most notably in 2014, where none of those guys are still on the team. Weiss, do you have anything on the Gettleman before we move on to the coaching search?
I've said enough.
Yeah, I think we have. I think we all have. And I think the one thing, one last thing that I'll say that'll sort of help us transition into the head coach talk. You know, this is what John Mara said December 29th regarding the head coach. I think obviously it has to be somebody who has either had head coaching experience or at least has been a coordinator for a significant period of time. What John Mara also said regarding the general manager position is that they needed a serious shakeup, and then he hired a guy who was previously with the organization for 13 years. So, and Chris, I have not been very fond of John Mara over the last year of this podcast. I think he's sort of full of shit for the most part. But when it comes to the head coaching search, you know, he's saying he wants a guy with experience. And then it looked like Wilkes was the front runner, especially with the Gettleman connection. And then we have Gary Myers from the New York Daily News coming out today and saying that that is not the case and that it really comes down to McDaniels, Patricia, and Shermer. So let's get your thoughts on where they are with the search. Let's get your number one pick and then what you think is actually going to happen.
All right, let's operate under the assumption, first of all, that they are planning on taking a quarterback with the number two overall pick.
Okay. Okay. I already like where you're going with this.
To me, it's McDaniels.
Attaboy. There we go.
Here's the problem, though. But here's the problem, guys. And I talked to a lot of people over the weekend. McDaniels to Tennessee, that's his number one destination. And that's their number one guy.
Can I ask why?
Because they, what do you call it? The guy's name is escaping me. Robinson, I believe his last name is, in the front office of Tennessee, worked with him at the Patriots for a long time.
John Robinson.
He's the GM. Yes, thank you. He's the GM in Tennessee. He worked with him with the Patriots for a long time. Mm-hmm. Strong connection there. And Marcus Mariota. Josh McDaniels is very high on Marcus Mariota. And, he's a guy that has not played as well over the last year and a half, but feels like there's a lot of pieces in place for them to win there now. And I think Josh is very high on that, and I think they're very high on him. If they had lost this past weekend, it might already be a done deal. And, I think Malarkey could still get fired this week if they get blown out like we anticipate they will against the Patriots. But I, for me, it would be McDaniels one. I'd prefer an offensive guy.
As do we.
I understand that Ben McAdoo is an offensive guy, and they brought him when they brought him in to be the coordinator. I always thought they brought him to be the next head coach. You just have to make sure that you have somebody, McDaniels, who has been there before, has done it. I agree with John on that, and somebody that just has instincts for what it means to be a head coach in every way. Ben McAdoo had zero instincts for that. Could see that last year, not even just this year.
Right.
So I am much more of the thought of bringing in an offensive guy if you are going to bring in a quarterback with the second overall pick.
Agree. And I think one of the reasons that I'm very high on McDaniels, and I've said it before on previous episodes, is the fact that he can work with a variety of different quarterbacks, right? He's working with Tom Brady, who's probably one of the few quarterbacks in the league less mobile than Eli Manning. And they're doing it with a subpar offensive line as well up in New England. So not only that, but, you brought up the fact that he's really, really high on Marcus Mariota. Well, listen, if he comes to the New York Giants, he has the opportunity to draft his guy for the next 10 years with the number two overall pick. So to me, it's not only a perfect fit, but it's an appealing job. And then, the defensive side of the ball, they've got a bunch of stars. And if McDaniels can bring in the right defensive coordinator, not Spagnuolo, then, I don't see any reason this team can't go right back to competing next year. Maybe that's too optimistic. But if Gettleman nails the draft and they bring in the right head coach and, we're all on the McDaniels train, I don't see why they can't turn it around real quick.
Yeah, I got to tell you. I think they would have the chance to, considering the pieces they have on defense, if they can just find a way to get the offensive line a little bit better. Now, if it's not McDaniels, Pat Shermer doesn't really light me on fire, nor does Matt Patricia. The guy that they haven't talked to that I really would have liked, and I got to see a little bit up close before I came back to WFAN, was John DeFilippo down in Philadelphia,
right?
And the way that he developed Carson Wentz. They had a kind of a three-headed monster there with him, with Doug Peterson, with Frank Reich. But John's the guy that was working most intimately with him. He's very high. He's interviewed for a couple of these head coaching jobs, very high on a lot of people's lists. That's a guy that I was a little bit surprised that they did not pursue. Frank Reich would have been a mistake. Frank Reich would have been an abject disaster.
Right, and I think the thinking here is if they do end up bringing in a defensive guy, that DeFilippo would be a good offensive coordinator candidate.
Right, yeah. Right, and that could happen, but he may have a head coaching job.
Right.
Honestly, he very well might. I also look at it, and so that's my problem right now, is do you want Pat Shermer to be your guy?
I'll be honest.
I
wouldn't be upset. I think they could do worse.
I don't think Sherman works here.
I mean, lay it out for me. Is it because he's been able to have success with a guy like Case Keenum?
It's just the variety of quarterbacks he's been able to have success with.
I get it.
I mean, listen, he's doing it with to be quite honest, a receiving core in Minnesota that, and listen, you got an undrafted free agent and a fifth round pick. Now, you know, obviously part of that goes into drafting, but he's getting the most out of those guys as well. So
he is. But
especially if you anticipate them drafting a rookie running back, you know, Dalvin Cook was lighting it on fire before he tore his ACL.
He was. And Weiss, listen, I don't know where you are on this. I guess I would lean in that direction because of the offensive part of it. I don't think the Giants need to bring in a defensive coach. I think they need to bring in a good defensive coordinator.
Both of you guys make valid points, and I'm with you guys. McDaniels is my first choice. I'm sort of with you, Chris, on Shermer. I don't think he's made for New York. I think he's more made for that small market. I think Arizona is a perfect spot for him. In the desert, he can do his thing there. But for me, when I look at head coach, I think everything you saw this season, this team needs a leader in that locker room, someone that's going to put their foot down and not going to allow some of the things that happened with Eli Apple, some of the public stuff that Landon Collins said, the stuff with Odell Beckham and the penalties. And that's why I'm with you on McDaniels. I'm with you that I prefer an offensive guy. But Steve Wilks is a very intriguing candidate, in my opinion. I think I asked people, you know, sort of that work for the Panthers, and I asked them to describe what Wilks is. And they sort of described him as someone the Giants need in their locker room, someone that can relate to players but at the same time sort of garners that respect, commands the locker room, builds culture. And it was an interesting quote that someone told me. They said, you hire McDaniels if you want to continue your culture. You hire Wilks if you want to establish new culture. And that's something that was interesting to me that I heard over the weekend. And so, you know, if it's not McDaniels, and I sort of think that he's waiting out to see if that Tennessee job opens up, I don't know if he'll go to the Colts. I think that whole thing with the deflate gate and how, you know, would he do that to his best friend Tom Brady? I don't think he'd do that. And I don't think he would put his sort of final chance to be a head coach in the NFL in the hands of a wild card like Jim Irsay.
And Andrew Luck,
I don't think he would do that. So, you know, I think for him, he's sort of waiting to see what happens with Tennessee. And maybe it could be a situation where, you know, it's Tennessee or stay in New England, New York, Tennessee or stay in New England, or maybe he's actually considering Indianapolis. I don't know. But to me, I think, you know, if not McDaniels, Steve Wilks is a guy for me. I think he's a guy that would establish new culture. And if he brings in, they have mentioned John DeFilippo as offensive coordinator candidate. If he's able to bring him on and sort of build a strong offensive staff, I think it could work. Because I think, to me, the head coaching job is more than just, you know, I know the quarterback position is the most important position, and I totally get that. But they need more than just, you know, a guy that can help on offense.
Yeah, no, listen, I think a culture shakeup is obviously needed. It sort of leads us into our next subject. But in terms of Wilks, for me, obviously I'd prefer an offensive guy. Also, the lack of head coaching experience for Wilks. And listen, I think that it scares away John Mara, scares me away a little bit. Chris, I don't know if that scares you away.
I wouldn't say it scares me away. Because at some point everybody had that. I would say that I just don't know enough about him. I really don't. And he could be a home run hire. If he's a guy that's a good communicator with players, that's obviously something they are in dire need of right now.
Yeah. Right.
So I would be very pro that, that aspect of it. But I just want to see it. It's so important. If you're going to take a quarterback with that second pick, that you have the right guys in place to tutor them, to get them to where they need to be, to really develop them. And I know it sounds like coach speak and all that stuff. It's just so important that you have the right guys working with them. And I think that's kind of like, look at a guy like Mariota. look where he was before. And, you know, they changed over in coaching staffs and look where he is now. And I think that has a lot to do with it. You know, I think he's gotten out of some bad habits or out of some good habits. And, you know, that scares me when you're going to take when you're going to invest in that pick.
Sure. All right. Enough of the head coaching stuff. Let's go on to the last topic, and then we got a couple of listener questions before we let you go. Let's just get general thoughts on the roster. First, let's talk about Eli and Eli's future. What do you think is going to happen, and what do you want to happen?
Ideally, I think that they should make it as clean-cut as possible. Eli, what do you want to do?
You mean they shouldn't have a repeat of Ben McAdoo?
No, I mean, I the way I would do it is, Eli, we're taking a quarterback with the second pick. What do you want to do?
Yep, you want to trade?
You want to release? You know, if it ends up, you know, if you want to be traded, where do you want to go? If you want to be released, we got to figure that out financially. But ultimately, I want to leave it in his hands because I do think he deserves that. And I'm going to do everything I can to try to help him along.
Absolutely.
I don't think Eli is going to tutor another guy. I don't think it's going to happen. I think you're going to, you know what it is? It's exactly the situation that his brother was in, and it's exactly the situation that Kerry Collins was in.
Right.
And, you know, and I think that's what they'll, I think ultimately that's what's going to happen. I think Eli has played his last game as a Giant. I honestly believe that.
Interesting.
A couple interviews with him the last few weeks, things like that. I think he has played his last game as a Giant. And I Jacksonville's not a lock, guys.
No, I agree.
But I do think he'll get a chance to go somewhere where he has a chance to win. But Jacksonville's not the lock that everybody would seem to think that it is.
No. I'm with you, Chris. I don't know if Eli's played his last game, but I think what the Giants got to do is, If they go to Eli and say, Eli, we're taking a quarterback. Well, Eli says, well, what's next? I think they got to put down a proper transition plan for him. Eli, we're taking a quarterback. We still feel like you give us the best chance to win next year. But if some circumstances arise, we're out of contention or losing games, we could make the switch. And give all that, you know, this is a brutal, honest meeting they got to have with Eli Manning. And they got to put everything down. No hidden agendas, no nothing. And they got to tell Eli, this is what we want to do. Do you want to be a part of it or do you don't? And that's where you, if he says yes, great. If he says no, then you work out a trade, a release, whatever it may be. I think a dark horse team in all this, and I'm surprised nobody's talking about it, but it's the Minnesota Vikings. When you look at what's the future holds for them, Case Keenum is a free agent. They have an established coaching staff. They have, you know, indoor stadium. He'll be playing 9 games indoor, 8 home, 1 Detroit, depending on who else their schedule is. They have a strong defense. They have a running game, an offensive line, receivers. I think if Minnesota, you know, is ousted early in the playoffs, maybe in the Sunday against Drew Brees, you know, do they look at the situation and say, you know what? You know, I think Teddy Bridgewater is a free agent. I know they still believe in Teddy, but could they say, you know what? Let's bring in Eli for a year. Let's see what he can do. They traded a first for Sam Bradford because they thought they were close. I know, no disrespect to Sam Bradford, but I think Eli is better than them. So
yeah,
that
Sam,
could be
no,
a
let
team.
Let me disrespect Sam Bradford.
Listen, I think Minnesota could be a dark horse in this. I don't know if Eli would go there. I'm just throwing that out there as a team that could potentially be out there. Like you said, it usually never works out the perfect way. You know, and I'm with you. I don't think Jacksonville's a lock. But to me, I think, you know, I go back and forth on this, but you know, I think Eli's time in New York could possibly be over. And I listened to that interview you guys did with him. He didn't say that he was okay with grooming a quarterback.
And no, he did not.
No, and he saw what happened with Ben McAdoo, the guy he vouched for, Jerry Reese, the guy he came up with who benched him for Geno Smith. You know, there's no guarantee a new coach comes in here with no real ties to Eli won't pull the trigger and put his guy in. So I don't think he's willing to take that chance. And I don't think he should play that Kurt Warner role with the Giants. He's not Kurt Warner. He's done more. They owe it to him to put him in the position that he wants to be in. And I think, you know, I think it's best for both sides, especially if they're planning on taking one of these quarterbacks, which they should, in my opinion.
Definitely. And listen, people forget most quarterbacks, they don't play their entire career in the same jersey, even the all-time greats. All right, let's move one Eli to the other before we get into some questions. We want to talk about the defensive back situation. Chris, I think both Weiss and I would be very shocked if your answer differed from ours. We're both in agreement that Eli Apple needs to get the hell off the team, regardless of what they get in return. Don't care if, you know, a defensive coach can come in here and fix him. Locker room cancer, and he just needs to go, period.
I'm not there yet.
Wow.
And
really?
I know that's surprising. I get it. It's a bad situation. I think there's a whole lot more going on behind the scenes for this kid.
Oh, absolutely.
Dan Duggan's article kind of shed some light on it a few weeks ago. Yep. I think there's a lot going on there. And personally, I got to talk to it. I got to leave that up to my new administration. You know, I got to leave that up to Gettleman and the new coach and see where they feel on him. He is a first round pick. And I also do know, you know, for instance, Chris Ash from Rutgers coached him, was his coach at Ohio State, and just couldn't say enough good things about the guy. And, you know, it's not just because it was a guy that played for him. You know, it's somebody that he was very high on out there. And he said he was a great kid. And it sounds like there is a whole lot going on, and I want to give the kid a chance, because he was a first-round pick and because I do think he's got ability to maybe get it straightened out. But certainly there is, you know, there's not a long leash there on what I'm going to do. There's not a long leash on it whatsoever. And I completely understand the sentiment. The first-round pick thing, man, that's really what it is for me.
Yeah.
Two years is such a short time.
I think what Gettleman has done so far, I mean, listen, Bobby Hart, seventh round pick, so obviously the value there is different. But he's a no-nonsense guy, benched Eric Flowers. And listen, man, it wouldn't shock me if he moved on from both Flowers and
Apple, I could see it.
Especially as a guy who had no connection to either, you know, being outside of the Giants administration for that point in time.
I would totally understand the move. I just, myself, would be tempted to see if I could straighten it out and see what's going on with the kid, you know, just family, mentally, all that stuff right now.
Yeah, I think Eli Apple has got, he's from New Jersey. His background is here in New Jersey. He grew up in Philly, but I don't think he has the proper people around him, and I don't think Jersey's the right place for him. I think he's got to go somewhere
else. It very well could be one of those situations.
Yeah, that's what I think.
That's a great point, Weiss. When you got too many members of your family around, and I don't mean that disrespectfully, we all love our families, but if they're not having the right influence on you, or too many of your friends around who are not having the right influence on you, you know, then you have to figure out how to get yourself right.
Yeah, I still think he can be a player in this league, but I just don't think it can work here. There's too many distractions for him, too many issues going on around him for him to focus.
And now some bad blood in the locker room as well.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it seems like throughout the course of the episode, we pretty much answered most of the questions that we were asked. So shout out to Chris, Nick, and Ben for sending in the questions. Chris, one more before we let you go. How's the new gig?
Sure.
How's WFAN?
I tell you what, guys, it's home, and it's so good to be back. And it's a dream come true. I don't want to sound too schmaltzy or anything, but, you know, I produced Mike and Chris for 7 years, and, you know, just getting the opportunity to do that, I would have thought would have been, you know, kind of a mountaintop. But this is, it's special. It's hallowed ground, and I think the thing I keep telling myself every day is, as awesome as it is to get this chance and to be back, now I got to stay here. And that's the harder part, you know? And I kind of went into this and told Bart and Maggie the same thing, that, hey, everybody's going to hate us for 6 months. You know, it's just the way it is. We're not Mike,
right.
And we can't do anything about that. And I understand the sentiment there. We're getting to know each other. And frankly, we're getting to know each other in front of an awful lot of people. And that's fine. I knew Maggie well. And I think you've seen already what kind of chops she has.
Yeah.
You know, she really put Dave Gettleman on the spot pretty good
in that first
interview. Eli, too. And Bart is a guy that is going to tell you what he thinks.
Right.
And Bart's better at, you know, people might not think, oh, who's he going to interview? I'll tell you what, guy's a smart guy. That guy is a smart guy. And so anyway, I'm really, he put it this way. He's a guy that I had my impressions of from the outside. Like, okay, I didn't really care for him too much when he was on the Jets. I thought he was too mouthy and all that. And the first time we met, that was the first thing I said to her. One of the first things I said was, you know, when you were on the Jets, they used to kill you. When I was on SNY, he's like, oh, I know. I know all about it. So anyway, it's awesome to get this chance. And, you know, I'm hopeful that people will give us a chance.
Absolutely.
Can I say one thing for Chris?
Yeah.
I think Chris deserves a solo show on WFN. And I think he will get it eventually. No offense to Bart and Maggie. I know, you know, he wants this to work. But I think eventually, as someone who listens, I live in D.C., I still listen. I think he's going to be headed toward a solo in the afternoon.
There
just my bold prediction.
Don't hold your breath. I got to tell you, I honestly wouldn't really want a solo show. I like other people to interact off of, to be honest.
Back and forth is easy, yeah.
And these guys are awesome, and they offer a lot. I appreciate the sentiment, but if my career is going to take a step forward, it's going to be because of these two.
There we go. That's a team player right there.
Yes.
All right. So
it's not just that, guys. It's the truth. I'm telling you.
Absolutely. All right. So let's wrap this up. Chris, you've had a long day, long commute, and you got radio tomorrow. So we'll finish up with the housekeeping. You can follow me on Twitter at EthanGSN. Follow Ice at NYG Daily. You can follow Chris at Chris Carlin on Twitter. Subscribe. iTunes, Audio Boom, Google Play, Stitcher Radio. You can listen to Chris every day, 2 to 6 on WFAN. You're on TuneIn if you're like Weiss and you're not in the New York area. Chris, thank you so much for coming on. We appreciate it, man.
Hey guys, my pleasure.
All right. NYG Weekly, Head Coaching Search Edition. We're out. Peace.